Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Survey
says. This is Wretched Radio. Surveys say a lot because there's a lot of them. Who determined this is the season for surveys? I'm telling you, I'm getting bombarded by surveys. Maybe it's because we're springing. No, we're falling back. Yeah. Setting the clock. What are we doing this week, Jimmy? We're setting the clocks back. The kids can get on the school buses safely, although kids don't seem to take school buses anymore. Is that a trend elsewhere besides here in the South, that parents have to drive their kids to school rather than putting them on the bus? It seems that somehow we've decided as a culture, we don't put our children in buses anymore. I thought we loved the mother. Isn't it better for the planet if we just put him on the bus? At any rate, apparently it was Richard Nixon, I think, back in give or take about 73, when it was determined that we're going to set the clocks back. Now, you're probably going to want to make sure that you do that, because if you don't, you're going to be getting to church early. And who wants that? Well, the answer is we should all want that. Church is so good for you. What would happen if you showed up an hour early at church? I mean, before anything was scheduled. What might happen? Well, you could join the work of the church. A lot of stuff has to happen to get the church ready for Sunday morning. I know it doesn't look like much, but it is. There's a surprising amount of just flat-out labor that goes into making sure the doors are open and things are functioning rightly. Sound and just setting up of whatever the platform area is like, the bulletins, cleaning up, making sure the communion is ready. All of the labor that goes, not to mention the food that we need in the kitchen. By the way, Jimmy, we had a potluck.
A pot providence?
Sorry. Oh, I slipped. A pot providence on Sunday. Oh, man. It's just good to get together as believers. It's just good. We had such a delightful time on Sunday when all the saints get together and enjoy a meal together. We got to witness baptisms, which means we got to witness the gospel. That's what baptism is. It is a dramatic creation, recreation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We visually partake of the gospel. When you take the Lord's table, you do it tactily. You taste it. It preaches the gospel to you. So we got to see that on Sunday. And, you know, that's just the stuff that makes church such a sweet and awe-full place. Things like that happen. Moments. For instance, we had baptism, and you get to hear the testimonies of people saying, God just reached down and he grabbed me, he saved me, he redeemed me, he cleansed me. We had three baptisms, and I got to tell you, the testimonies just absolutely rocked. They were bang on, except for, I'm not going to mention Grayson's name, who mentioned that before he got saved, when his dad would drag him to church, he would sometimes fall asleep during the sermons. I can't even imagine something like that happen. Now he claims he doesn't, but he also claimed it was his pop that was so helpful. His sister said the same thing. They got baptized separately, obviously, but same day. And they both made professions of faith that were just spot on, and they gave props to Dad and how they saw Dad model the gospel. Pop, they're watching you. Don't think for a second they aren't. Don't think that your kids, they are studying you like a hawk. Now, if you asked them, are you studying me? They'd say, what? But they are, because you live with them, and they just drink you in. What are they consuming? What do they see about your faith, Dad? We heard these testimonies of a dad who'd been faithful to them, and now they're getting baptized and making a public expression of faith. a public testimony that I'm with Christ. Go ahead, mock me. Go ahead, persecute me. I cannot help it because he's the risen Savior. And that is what baptism shows. Dead to self, alive in Christ. It is glorious. Those are the sweet things. Helping get church ready. It feels good. It just does. What would happen if you got to church an hour early and you just got to talk to somebody who was hurting, or you're hurting and somebody talked to you? Well, those are the sweet things that church is. So please make sure you don't set your clocks back this fall and start putting your kid on the bus. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Because do you know that in Atlanta, there's school traffic and summer traffic? Because when it hits school time, I need to know if this is a local thing, a regional thing, or if this is a national thing. Does everybody now drive their child to school and sit in those lines with the air conditioning running or the heat, the cars running, because they have to wait and wait and wait? Another sign. America's crumbling. In fact, here's another sign that America's crumbling. This is courtesy of R.C. Sproul. I mean, the Ligonier State of Theology 2025. What do Americans think about God? The Bible. Some of this information might shock you, might not. What do we do with it? The answer is, got to be careful, because you want to be aware of what people's impression of Christianity is. You want to be careful, though, that you make sure that you don't alter your evangelistic presentation. You're aware, but the core of it, the foundation of the gospel can never change. It's Christ and him crucified for the propitiation of sinners to save us from the wrath that is to come. That can't change. But being aware of what people are thinking most certainly can. Here's the survey from Ligonier State of Theology. A majority of Americans believe worshiping at home alone or with their family is an acceptable replacement for attending church services. It's not. You miss those sweet things. You miss those delightful experiences of interpersonal relationships. The internet, this is just... The social media and the fracturing of our society, the lack of interaction amongst people. Mrs. Friel and I were talking about the AI machine and what it does in replacing human beings for companionship. That's a huge trend. Oh, the other thing, an AI girlfriend or an AI boyfriend, really? And now they're making, I don't even want to say it. They're just the worst that they can possibly do with the technology. They're doing it. In fact, I think now AI is going to start doing erotica. Why? Because AI apparently ain't making a lot of money these days, but porn always does. So there, you're going to be able to really get customized porn and what they're calling erotica. What a nice name for something that's so sinful. AI is, when it replaces all of the jobs that it's replacing, what's going to become of all of the people who don't work? Furthermore, what is the goal of AI? I wonder if these people, I think there's some people pondering it, but I think most people that work in the tech industry, they're just trying to make advancements. They would probably say for the sake of human flourishing, but is that what's really happening? Is the goal that ultimately we human beings never work again? That we have robots do everything for us? What becomes of the economy? What, we're going to pay robots now? Why? What's the point if another robot is doing the job? It ain't worth nothing. It can be a tool, but right now, I don't think anybody is pondering the implications of AI. What will this do to human beings? And I think people staying at home to watch church is having the type of impact that I don't think God intended for us. I don't think that God... Would you like to know how I think God intended us to live? Go back 6,000 years to creation. Husband, wife, kids, working in a local community. Like backbreaking stuff, like sweating, like thorns type of labor. I think that was because it's good for us. The technological age, it is coming in like a tsunami. And we're just not stopping to ponder, what in the world is this doing? And I think the same thing is true with online church. What is it doing? Well, I think it's keeping people from enjoying the sweet things that you get to experience that can only happen one-on-one, face-to-face, in communion with one another. Why? Because that's what God is like. He's in communion with himself. And you simply can't be in communion with another human being when you are not there. Did you see the story? And the National Mall, why this had to happen there, I don't know. It's called Communion America. Apparently, like just a mile of people, all from all over the globe doing communion together. Does that have any sort of ecclesiological implications? That a group of people that do not do church together are getting together for communion? Furthermore, have any of us really pondered that? Well, Nine Marks Ministries did, and they got something to say about communion on the National Mall, because it has a whole lot to do with the church. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart, and it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 Steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe? That just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Even Joe Rogan is getting it. This is Wretched Radio. Did you see the Joe Rogan Experience? The man who used to rail against Christianity, now expressing how much he digs, get ready for this, going to church.
I haven't got there, but I have started going to church every now and again.
Yeah. That's his guess, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
I love it.
Yeah. I do too. It's a bunch of people that are going to try to make their lives better.
That's exactly the point of the going to church. But that is a part of it, that we do want to grow in sanctification. But what is the purpose of church? Is it just to become a better person? You can't say that it's not about that. But it is about worshiping the risen Christ, about downloading information from God's word into your brain, which should affect your affections, which should change then your behavior. And we come together as called out ones, as assembled ones, as a testimony to the world. We're different. The people inside of these doors are those who are willing to be fools for Christ.
Be a better person. And they're trying to, I mean, for me at least, the place that I go to, they read and analyze passages in the Bible.
Awesome. Good for Joe.
I'm really interested in what these people were trying to say, because I don't think it's nothing. There's a lot of like atheists and secular people that just like to dismiss Christianity as being foolish. You know, it's just fairy tales. I hear that amongst, self-professed intelligent people. Like, it's a fairy tale. I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I think...
Wow, this guy has come so far, hasn't he? Attitudinally?
Oof. I think there's more to it. I think it's history, but I think it's a confusing history.
Well, it's more than history. It's God's revelation so that we can know his son and enjoy all of the attributes that God possesses.
It's a confusing history because it was a long time ago. And it's people telling things in an oral tradition and writing things down.
Got to be careful with the oral tradition thing. Yes, there is an oral tradition in the Bible. You can't deny that. By the way, Michael Kruger just wrote an article. The number of codices that they're finding, like little, you'd even hang them around your neck, little books of Bible that people would tote around with them early. They're finding these things early. So the written tradition of Christianity, is there oral initially between the time of the ascension of Jesus Christ and when the first book of the Bible was written? Yes, there was. But it was within the span of a generation of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, to a degree in oral history, but I always want to be careful with that because people go, telephone game. That's why everything changed.
In a language that you don't understand, in the context of a culture that you don't understand.
You know, the one thing that I would love to say to Joe is that the Bible isn't as confusing as it appears to be when you understand the premise of the Bible. What is the point? What is the thesis statement of the Bible? And the answer is the head crusher. The one who will destroy the work of Satan, will overcome death, who will buy us back so that we can be in a right relationship with God, so that we can experience the full panoply of all of his attributes. And then you read the Old Testament, it's like, okay, God's calling out a people from Abraham, yep, then Moses gathering them together, okay, God is doing exactly what he promised if they don't keep the covenant. He's dispersing them, oh, he's assembling them. Because he's going to be faithful to his Abrahamic covenant. And so the Old Testament is nothing but the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenant going back and forth. You break the Mosaic covenant, God disciplines you. But because of his promise to Abraham, he's faithful to them and keeps them as a nation. For instance, the book of Esther, what is that doing there? The answer is, it is showing that God is faithful to his Abrahamic covenant. That's why it's there. And when you understand that, the thesis statement of the Bible, which I think is Genesis 3:15, then it's not so confusing at all.
And I think there's something to what they're saying. I don't think it's nothing.
No.
No.
I think there's something to it, and there's a reason why it resonates with people. And Christianity in particular is the most fascinating to me because there's this one person that everybody agrees existed that somehow or another had the best plan for how human beings should interact with each other and behave. And
but that's true. But that's not the central message of Christianity.
Was the best example of it and even died in a nonviolent way. Like, didn't even protest, died on the cross, supposedly for our sins. Like,
okay, now you're getting there.
A fascinating story. What does it represent, though? That's the real thing. What was that? Like, what happened? Who was Jesus Christ if it was a human being?
The head crusher. That's who he was. The promised Son of God. The fulfillment of all of the messianic promises that exist in the Old Testament. The longing of Israel. The coming of God with us as a part of God's redemptive story. That's what the Bible is about from beginning to end. I'm glad to see that Joe's still at least softened toward things of the Bible and even expressing he likes going to church, which brings us back to the National Mall. If you recall, Communion America, somehow Lou Engel was involved. So it was a group of people, like thousands of people, that gathered on the National Mall to take communion. You got a problem with that? Or is it possible that we have not considered ecclesiology when it comes to things like location of baptism, where we take communion? Nine Marks Ministries, it's worth reading their take on what baptism is and what communion is. You may or may not agree with it. For instance, is baptism the entrance into the local communion of a local church? Is that what brings you into the church? I think that they would say, yeah, it absolutely is. I think that that's their take on it. You might not agree with that, but it will raise your, I think, perspective on what the local church is and how it should be perhaps considered more than it probably currently is. There was an article from Nine Marks titled, "Don't Take the Supper at Youth Camp or Get Baptized in the Jordan." It's funny, because I read piles of stuff all the time. These two things happen to be in the same pile. And I went, well, look at that. They're having communion on the National Mall. It was a mile-long communion table, apparently. And Nine Marks Ministries saying, probably shouldn't be doing that. For your consideration, from Nine Marks Ministries, the Lord's Supper is the corporate proclamation of our common crucified Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of it this way. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all take of the one bread. Now, you would say that they're accomplishing that at the National Mall because it's the universal church coming together as one body. But is that what communion, the context that communion was intended to be proclaiming? Is it the unity of the church universal, the church invisible, or the local church? Back to Nine Marks. This is a foundational text for understanding the supper. We recommit ourselves to Christ and his church in mutual love, affirmation, and oversight. The supper makes unrelated people into a covenant family. Aren't we in a covenant as the universal church? Yes, but are we in a special covenant with the local church? Absolutely. The Lord's Supper should be taken corporately by a church when they come together as a church. Paul went so far as to deny that the Corinthians were even taking the Lord's table because they didn't wait for everybody to get together. And so Nine Marks writes, we would argue with no gathered church, there is no Lord's Supper. Now, please note, Well, I think that that is the appropriate context for it. Does that mean we should never take communion elsewhere? I don't know that I would make a law where there is no law. Granted, we're not covenanting together. Is it awful, though, that we do say as a body of believers when we're together in a setting that is really revolving around Jesus Christ? What about hospital visits when people can't make it to church? I wouldn't make a law where there is no law, but I do think that they're making an exquisite point, and that is, hey, consider the local church. From Nine Marks, A similar challenge faces those who attempt to observe the Lord's table at a wedding or in a small group. For the ordinances to be properly understood, the whole church must be genuinely invited to gather for the occasion. The ordinances draw a line around the group of Christians who gather regularly, demarcating them as a local church. Jimmy, are you on the nine marks side, or do you think that there can be exceptions to that rule?
I'm somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I think there can be some exceptions, maybe, possibly, but I'm leaning more towards what they're saying.
The thing about the National Mall thing is that the reason that I think the context matters is because, for instance, let's just say I'm at a camp with a bunch of people from church and other fellow believers, and we all adhere to the same essentials of the faith. It seems that we can show that unity in the broader context. A mile-long group of people from all over the world whose theology is probably as varied as the humans that are standing there. Discuss. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.